world celebrates Father's Day today. So in the spirit of the celebration and with a deep appreciation for every father in the audience, hear me when I say, with what little strength I can muster, Happy Father's Day. This morning, I want to talk with you about the responsibility that God has placed on us as fathers. Being a father is not easy. We all know that. And there's not a lot in our culture that encourages fathers to be good and godly leaders in the home. We don't see it on TV because it doesn't make for good comedy. It's a lot funnier to see a deadbeat or a doofus who is the butt of every joke. I wonder, could it be that one of the reasons why we don't learn how to be fathers from watching TV or sitcoms? A father has to learn balance. A father has to be a godly leader without being a tyrant. How to be firm without being inflexible. A father has to be strong without being overbearing. That's a pretty tall order, and it's not easy. Our assignment given to us by God is to develop character in the lives of our children. Here's the catch. We're going to do this without even trying, or at least be the primary influence in character development of our children. The question, of course, is what kind of character will our children have? Today, I'm pressed in the spirit to look at a father and son relationship in the Bible. And it's one of the oldest. It's found in the book of Genesis, chapter 26. Go there, please, and I'll meet you there in a minute. Genesis, chapter 26. Abraham was a great man. He did many great things. God used Abraham in a great way. But Abraham was not perfect. And yet, he was God's man. Today, we're going to look at some events, perhaps three, in Isaac's life that show a father's influence. My encouragement to every father today comes by way of thinking about the things that we're going to discuss as we raise our children. I want to suggest three fatherly lifters that will empower us once we receive and practice them to love our family, to lead our family, and to lift our family. The back story of our text, Abraham was chosen by God when he was a young man. God called him to leave the home of his fathers and to travel to a new land. God gave Abraham a bold promise. Genesis 12 and verse 2. I will make you into a great nation, God speaking. I will bless you and make you famous, and you will be a blessing to others. Chapter 17, verse 6 of Genesis. Your descendants will become nations, and kings will be among them. Verse 7. I will always be your God, and the God of your descendants after you. Wait for me at Genesis 26, please, and verse 2 in particular. And then when Abraham and his wife, Sarah, were very old, God gave them a son and said, verse 19 of Genesis 17, you will name him Isaac, and I will confirm my covenant with him and his descendants as an everlasting covenant. And so we fast forward a few years. Abraham died. Isaac is now a grown man. And we take up the story in Genesis 26. There are three events in this chapter that will help fathers pass on, if you will, good or godly qualities to their children. I know that we're looking at a father and son relationship, but clearly, I hope to make you see with the help of the Holy Spirit that these principles apply to our sons as well as our daughters. Fatherly lifter number one. Make sure you give them something to continue. Make sure, be certain, be intentional about giving our children something to continue. There was a famine in the land, and Isaac was preparing to move. God speaks to him in Genesis 26 and verse 2. What does the Bible say?
And the Lord appeared unto him and said, Go not down into Egypt, dwell in the land which I shall tell of thee. Sojourn in this land, and I will be with thee, and will bless thee. For unto thee and unto thy seed I will give all these countries, and I will perform the oath which I swear unto Abraham, thy father.
Okay, read.
And I will make thy seed to multiply as the stars of heaven, and I will give unto thee seed all these countries, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. Because Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my law.
He says, because Abraham listened to me and kept my statutes. God started something in Abraham's life that he was able to continue in Isaac's life. Oh, what? Abraham was faithful to God. Amen. In the same way, God wants to do things in your life and mine as fathers, that he can continue in the lives of our children. And I'm not talking about the family business, and I'm not talking about monetary or physical inheritance and stuff and things. I'm not talking about encouraging our children to follow in the career path that we have gone. I'm talking about a family tradition of a sort, a tradition of character, a tradition of obedience to God, a tradition of faith and of service to the Most High God. I wonder if we could talk for a minute. It's a matter of identity. There's something about being able to say to your sons and your daughters, this is who we are. This is the kind of choices we make. This is the type of life we lead. There's a favorite story of mine that speaks of Martin Luther King Sr. and Jr. entering a shoe store. And as they walk into the front of the store, the clerk at the store approached them and said, sir, if you guys want to purchase shoes, you're going to have to move to the back section of the store. Martin Luther King Sr. said, either we buy shoes in the front of the store or we don't buy shoes at all. And I don't know. I don't know if they left the store with shoes that day, but I am convinced that Martin Luther King Jr. left that store that day with a strong sense of identity. What you saying, preacher? Fathers, make sure you have something of value to pass on to your children. Make sure your life begins with something that God can continue in your children, just like Abraham's heritage of faith and obedience to God. Leader, fatherly lifter number two, be aware and help your children to be aware of your character flaws. In verse 6 and verse 7 of Genesis 26, let's do a little jaywalking here. Something very interesting happens. What does verse 6 of Genesis 26 say?
And Isaac dwelt in Gerar.
Isaac dwelt in Gerar.
And the men of the place asked him of his wife. And he said, she is my sister.
She's my sister.
He feared to say, she is my wife. Lest, said he, the men of the place should kill me for Rebekah, because she was fair to look upon.
All right. Do you see that? Now, later, when the king Abimelech found out that Isaac had been dishonest, he was furious. Of course, you remember the story, right? It ought to sound familiar, right? Because Abraham pulled the same stunt with his wife Sarah with the same king Abimelech earlier. Both men did what they did because of cowardice and a lack of character. Both men showed a willingness to put their wives in a vulnerable situation in order to prevent putting themselves at risk. Abraham was a man of God, and God indeed used him. But that doesn't mean that Abraham was perfect. Isaac was a man of God, and God used Isaac. But that does not mean that Isaac was perfect. The same can be said of David and Peter and Paul. Amen. And every person we meet in Scripture except Jesus, who was without sin. Let me share a truth with you. I think it's kind of unfortunate, but it's truth nevertheless. Your children and mine are likely to pick up some of our bad habits. I brought my own amen for that. They're likely to inherit some of our character flaws. If they see you and me doing cowardly things, they'll probably resort to doing cowardly things too. If they see you and I respond to challenge by losing our temper, they would probably rant and rave too when things don't go their way. Here's what you and I can do. Fatherly lifter number two. We can be completely honest with our children about ourselves and about our faults. What's wrong with saying, I struggle with my temper, son, and I hate it. It hurts me at work, it hurts my marriage. It's not good for my health, and it's something I want to change. It's also a problem I want you to avoid, because you can do better than me. What's wrong with that? What's wrong with heart-to-heart talks with our children? Sharing with them that we lose some battles often, but do your best, my son and my princess, to stay away, to avoid it as much as you can. I'm talking about being transparent with our children about our weaknesses and our faults. That's what I'm talking about. What do you suppose would have happened if Abraham had said, I brought shame on the family name, son, when I lied to Abimelech, and I treated your mother, I disrespected your mother, and put her in danger. This is not what a man of honor would do. Don't follow my example on this one. Instead, learn well from my mistakes. Our children will pick up some of our bad habits, some of our bad qualities, but I would appeal to you, beloved. Lord, help us to be wise enough to recognize and to acknowledge our faults and be transparent enough to admit them to our children so that we can help them be strong enough to overcome them. Fatherly lifter number three. Make sure they see you do things right. Make sure our children see us do right things. towards the end of Genesis 26, Isaac had moved to another place, and the Bible says that God appeared to him and spoke words of comfort and of promise to him, like he did earlier in the same chapter. Drop down to verse 25 of Genesis 26. What does the Bible say?
And he built an altar there.
He built an altar there.
And called upon the name of the Lord.
Called upon the name of the Lord.
And pitched his tent there.
Pitched his tent there.
And there Isaac's servants dig a well.
Why did Isaac decide to build an altar right there? Could it be, beloved, that it was because he had seen or had heard about his own father doing the same thing many times in the past? In Genesis 12:7, the Bible says, and Abraham built an altar there and dedicated it to the Lord. In 13:4, this was the same place where Abraham had built the altar, and there he worshiped the Lord again. In Genesis 13 and 18, there he built another altar to the Lord. And on and on and on and on, Abraham gave his son an example of spirituality to follow. His custom was to build an altar at every moment in his life, and to stop and to stop and to worship God. Isaac knew this. He heard the stories as they were passed down. He witnessed the example firsthand in his daddy. If I could just get another word in to the fathers. You're in the worship assembly today, and that's good, great. You're setting a good and a godly example. Let's do everything we can to build on that example. It's snow. It's common to us by nature. Men tend to be reserved about things of an emotional or perhaps a personal nature. Amen, walls. Our relationship with God is a very personal nature, very personal matter. And I gotta confess, as a minister of the Word of God, as a student of the Word of God, it's not always easy for me to be completely transparent about that part of my life. So I understand. I think I understand a little bit about it not being easy to discuss things of a personal or an emotional nature, but it's absolutely necessary. It's necessary for our children to see examples of our spiritual life. They gotta know that we pray. They gotta know that we worship more than just in the Sunday assembly at the building or on Zoom. Our children have to know that we are involved and active in the service of God. Yes, they're going to see our faults because we can't hide those. But let's make sure they see our strengths too. Let's make sure they have a godly example to follow. Let's give our sons and our daughters the opportunity to see our faith in action. I think, and this may or may not be true, but I have a sense that our children, they really do want to be like us. I know sometimes we might hear the opposite. I even said it of my father because I never saw much of him. And I would say, I never want to be like my dad in that specific regard. But you know why? Now that I'm a father some 30 years, 40 years, we sometimes go about things the wrong way. But in order for our children to have character, we need to have some character. And it's hard to develop character, as you already know. When we pay the price in our lives to become the men we can be, to become the men that God made us to be, it's easier for our children to pick up our strengths and sidestep our weaknesses. I'm saying Happy Father's Day but I'm also suggesting make it our prime directive to give our children an identity. Be transparent with our children so that they can learn from our mistakes and overcome them. Happy Father's Day, fathers. Give our children an example to follow. And if you're here today and you're not a father yet, take copious notes, please. Our Father in heaven, we're so grateful to be your children and to be children of a perfect Father. Can't help but say thank you. Thank you for speaking to our hearts today. Thank you for the gift of fatherhood that you entrusted to us. Forgive us for the times we have dishonored you. We've not lived up to the fathers you've called us to be. And we're so godly sorry about that. And we're asking that you forgive us as we repent because we know that by your Spirit and by your grace, we can do better. Help, Lord, as we continue to raise our children, that we give them a godly example to follow. That we are transparent about our weaknesses.
Yes.
To help them overcome, to help them to overcome them.
Yes.
We confess that we're needy. And none of this is possible without your help. Help us. Help fathers all over the country, all over the world, to take your model of fatherhood seriously and to reflect being made in your image and likeness, so that the children, the gifts of the children you've granted us, are the kind of children that will follow you and follow you closely. Have mercy upon us. It's our prayer. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name we pray.
Jesus' name.
Amen.